Alice. Yeah,
but
homework.
What do you want
to continue? To the read through the rush. This is a chew that's sort of been lurking in the background of my mind since we started this sugya a while ago. I thought the more I push it off, the more I'm going to just forget about it. So just quickly go through it. This is Rav Moshe's tshuva in Or HaChaim Chelek Gimel. Or HaChaim Chelek Gimel, Simen Tzadi Gimel. Or HaChaim Gimel, Tzadi Gimel, it's page Tuf Dalad, 404. In Mutter Latseis Latanug. And again, you'll see some of the principles that he mentions here really touch and concern a number of the sugyas that we've discussed recently. Is it permissible, latseis latanug ba'alma, just for mere enjoyment, lamakam shalo yihiya lo soka? Can a person just say, lamashal, I don't know, he wants to go on a trip, he wants to go hiking today, he wants to go camping, but there won't be any sukkah. Right? He won't have a sukkah. He wants to go on a great adventure, and there's not going to be any sukkah. I mean, today a lot of these things are not true because all those places have sukkahs today. But let's say a guy says, I want to go on a trip, I know there's not going to be any sukkah. Is that permissible? Oh, we have a case in the Gemara where the Gemara says, Polche Drachim are potter from sukkah. It's true. A person who's traveling at certain times is potter. And we said that's based on the concept, this pervasive principle known as Teshu Kein Tediru. Oh, just like occasionally you leave your house, so too you can go, you can travel for whatever purpose. Rashi, again, limits the purpose, but there are occasions when a person will leave his home, so too he can leave a sukkah. And when we say leave your sukkah, we mean eat things that you would otherwise have to eat in a sukkah, but not be in the sukkah, meaning eat them outside the sukkah. Ubedavar latseis latiyol, says Rav Moshe. Ulatanug ba'alma. You want to just go for your own enjoyment. Lamakam shilo yihiya lo sukkah. Well, you're not going to have a sukkah. Mistaber laniyastaiti da'asar. She'asar. Right? No great surprise there. So you can't do that. You can't just pick up and say, I'd like to go someplace for fun and not have a sukkah. What about the Gemara? The Gemara says, Holchei Derachim are potter from the sukkah. So Rav Moshe says, the Holchei Derachim she'ita b'sukkah daf chavav keshehu l'dvar harashus she'peturin al kolponim b'yom. It's true, when they're traveling by day, they're potter by day. Hu keshehochem l'meschar. Right? That's specifically when they're going for business. The coyote, shehut zorech mamish. That's a real tzorech. So he's using Rashi's terminology that you had to be away, you had to be traveling for business. The gam hu l'chol adam, shebishol zeh hayat zorech laseis gam yibeso. And it has to be sort of a shavu l'chol nefesh type of standard. Meaning, everyone would leave under these circumstances. Everyone would leave their home for this need. Meaning, guy got a deal, he has to go travel for the deal. Everyone would deem it appropriate to step out of his home for this purpose. If everyone views it as a justification for leaving his home, then you could leave the sukkah for such a reason. But just a trip, and for mere enjoyment, there's no real quote unquote need. It's nothing. Not that it's not important, but not anything halachically significant such that you could push off the mitzvah of sukkah. Masha b'shvil tavoso, Rabbi Feinstein says, just because of your desire, v'ha na'aso, and your enjoyment, haya yotze mi beso, kevan shelo haiso yitzioso, af mi beso litzorech. The fact that you would have left your home for this purpose does not justify leaving the sukkah for such a purpose. Why? Because when you would have left, it was not quote unquote litzorech. It's not a tzorech. Yeah. The hega atzmacha. Adam sheyesh harbe pamim sheyeshen bechetzro tachas kipas hashemayim mishum shenene bezeh. Yosmin bayis. So you have a guy who every once in a while likes to sleep out in his backyard. He enjoys it. It's fun. He has a, I don't know, camp out. And he enjoys it because it's more enjoyable for whatever reason than sleeping in his house. Mishum shem yibeso yetzi b'shilzeh. So he'll go out. I'm sorry, I skipped over. Hayechi yipatim misukah mishum shem yibeso yetzi b'shilzeh. Im kain, Lama Amar Rava Mitzvah Patam Asukah. Hayal Lomar Misha Nena Leshe Bechata Yosem Bayis Vasukah Patam and Asukah. You follow that? So there's a guy who likes camping out, a guy who likes just sleeping out under the stars. You want to tell him that he's, so since he'll normally do that, he'll leave his house once in a while. So therefore, he should be pater from the sukkah, because he would leave his house for such a reason. So therefore, he's pater from the sukkah. So you can't say that. Why did Rava have to say, mitztair pater from the sukkah? Why are you telling me mitztair, person who finds the sukkah uncomfortable? He could have just said, misha nehene, whoever enjoys sleeping out in his yard more than sleeping in his house or a sukkah, he'll be putter. That's why you use mitzdayer. Tell me, a guy who likes doing this. If a guy likes doing this, then he doesn't have to be in the sukkah because he likes doing that. A guy who likes leaving his house from time to time to sleep in the yard, right? You'll tell me he should be putter. He says it can't be because Rava didn't say if you like sleeping outside your house, you like sleeping outside the sukkah, you could do that because you like it, because you enjoy it. Right, because it gives you ta'anug, it gives you hanah. No, it's a mitzdayer. Mitzdayer is a halachic category. It's a halachic concept, it's a halachic mechanism, which exempts a person from a sukkah. We don't say, well, if you like to be outside, then you can be outside. So Rav Moshe says, we don't go and say that. V'af sheyesh ulai lidchos. Maybe you could push this off a little bit and say, the Rava Omar mitzdayer, dafka le'inyan le'lech lishan b'bayis b'shoz. And maybe Rava only was talking about mitzdayer for the purpose of sleeping, which is another issue which we have yet to get to. Is mitzdayer only patur from sleeping, or is it also patur from eating? Delagavi habayis lo niftar b'zeh sheyesh lo yoseh hanah b'bayis min basukah. V'lo legavi leishein b'chutz lo zeh niftar gam b'lo tzar. Maybe a person will be patur from sleeping even without tzar. Im yesh lo yoseh hanah. Maybe sleeping is different. Maybe sleeping, yeah, you'll tell me I am exempt from sleeping if I enjoy sleeping, if I get more hanah from sleeping someplace else, as opposed to eating. Mishum she'ulai leilech labayish l'acher lo hoyu rov b'nei adam holchem b'shil yoser hana v'leilech l'chutz hayu holchem gam b'shil yoser hana. Person wouldn't go to someone else's house, travel to someone else's sukkah, someone else's house for greater hana, but they would just simply go out of their own home for more hana. V'habayis b'chag ha'sukkos yesh lo l'hachshivo kemo shehu likanes labayish l'acher. Lo mistabrezeh, the minot, he says, even though you could come up with such a svara, he says, not mistabre. It doesn't really make sense to say this. Why? The minot on lahachshiv came. Velo kamo sheyesh lo atzmo shnei batim. It's not like a person who has two homes. Sheyeholech labayis hasheni gam shel yosef, where a person would go to his own home, second home, for more enjoyment. The gam mefurish b'magen avram, tafresh mem, sivkot nidalad, dim ein yechon leishen, kol kach betov b'sukkah. A person can't sleep in the sukkah the way he would at home. He can't spread out. He can't really sleep with the same type of comfort that he could sleep at home. V'yiyu yigeyim l'mocher. And now you're going to be tired the next day because you're not going to get a good night's sleep. V'lo yuchlu l'kayim ha-mitzvah karoy. And you won't be able to do the mitzvahs properly the next day. Then you're potter. Harei d'bishvil ha-nos ha-shena yoser oser. It didn't say because your sleep will be better. It didn't say because you enjoy sleeping in your house more than you enjoy sleeping in the sukkah. I mean, everyone enjoys sleeping in their house more than they sleep. I shouldn't say everyone. The average person enjoys sleeping in the house more than enjoying sleeping in the sukkah. So Rav Moshe is saying, you don't see that the Gemara is saying, well, if you enjoy it more, you can go out. If you enjoy it more, then you putter from the sukkah. There's no such thing. Enjoy more is not a halakhic concept. Right? You're saying you need a patur. V'dinzehu afkisha sheinu b'chutz tov lo yoser kishein holchol hiluchol ha-mitzvah. The ha-mekor ha-magen avram. What's it based on? Again, it's based on our Gemara Chafav, basically, that we had a case of Rav Chizda and Rav Abar Rav Huna, the Ganu Ba'arkasa Denara, Shehu B'chutz, Mishim D'yashnu Sham, L'ha Na'asan Yoser, V'yuchlu La'asak B'mitzvah L'mocha Tfei. The only reason they slept there was so they would be ready to get back on the path to do the mitzvah properly the next day. Alma, you see from here, says Rav Moshe, the Shalol Tzorach Mitzvah, if it's not for Tzorach Mitzvah that they're leaving the confines of the Sukkah, Bishvil ha'anah hayaser. If it was just for more enjoyment, that's not enough of a reason to say I don't want to be in a sukkah. The gam beloze had the naasin, excuse me, had the neenshin al asay biidan rischa kishem mevakesh tatzdiki lemipater mehamitzvah kiditim b'menachos memalef. After often chayel lo hanah mebelavish begadim apatur mitzitzis devade lo bekavana lifter mitzitzis lavash. Rav Ketina, Lasadina, Vesar Velo, Hapatur Mitzitzis. He's talking about a case where a person looks for ways to be exempted from a mitzvah. He says that's not good for a person. The Gemara says it's not good for a person during the Eis Rischa, when there's a Kadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, gets angry. That's not that guy is not going to be doing. He's not going to be so well off. We could leave that for another time. Obviously, that needs a discussion. But he's using that Gemara as a proof that a person shouldn't look for ways to bake himself a potter when it's not necessary. You don't say, I'm going to put myself in a predicament where there's no sukkah and I won't be able to mekayim the mitzvah. Okay, what could I do?
Why not?
Because that's not proper. It's not the proper thing to do.
First of all,
the last thing that he's saying is that it's philosophically incorrect. What he's bringing right from the Gemara Menachos is that it's not philosophically proper to do that.
But as far as halacha is concerned, you could always look for the keturim and do that, right?
Halachically speaking, it could be. Right. I mean, not long ago, I spoke about the issue of tearing. There is an idea like that. There is an idea of a novel Gosher Satorah that the Ramban talks about in Parshas Kedoshim. It doesn't mean that the guy's violating halacha. Let's say a guy eats all day. You know, someone's going to say he's doing something halachically wrong. He's making brachas, he's benching, doing whatever he's supposed to. But that's what he does all day. He's eating. You're going to say the guy's a tzaddik? You're going to say, well, he's not doing anything halachically wrong. Yeah, but he's just involved in a life of the instinctual. Well, he's having relations all day. Okay, so maybe you'll tell me that at some point that he is violating halacha. But, for example, those types of situations where halacha doesn't necessarily limit what you're supposed to do or not do. And a guy does that. So what are you going to say? The guy's totally steeped in the life of the instinctual. You tell me the guy's a philosopher? No. Is he violent halacha? Not necessarily. Sometimes you could see that there are cases. So Moshe is saying, listen, at the very least, if a guy go out of his way and create a situation where he's going to be without a sukkah and tell me that he's potter from sukkah, that's not so posh. To begin with, he's saying that's not so posh. But beyond that, he's saying that he doesn't feel that just for the satisfaction of a taiva or for hana'a, that a person can then go ahead and say, now I'm without a sukkah, therefore I'm potter. He says you don't have the right to do that. And he shows that the only time you have recourse to piturim for sukkah is in those cases that are already delineated by halacha. Mitzta'er, for example. Doesn't say more hana'a. Doesn't say you can leave the sukkah because you want more hana'a. I mean, if you think about it, every person should be potter from sukkah in that case. Guy's out in the sukkah says, I would be more Behana'a, I'd be more in line with my taivos if I went inside. Okay. Well, because that's a hate. There'd be no sukkah anymore. But just, he hands off, Lachim is starved, Lelech litil, Tainug, Lemokum, Shalek, a sukkah, Aser. Aser. Don't say it's not such a good thing to do. Don't say it's, you know, Ben Torah shouldn't do it. He says Aser. So, I think that's important when we speak about all these cases where you don't sit in the sukkah. I think it's important to at least be sensitive to the fact that ideally a person should be sitting in the sukkah. That's ideal. Yeah, questions, comments?
What's
that? The situation where a person just goes someplace without good reason, knowing that he's not going to be able to fulfill the mitzvah of sukkah.
Yeah.
Or he's going to be forced to.
It's more of a knucks. I mean.
Oh, wait, 1 second. We'll start this way. Just.
I'm not clear on what he meant by the hanah, what he brings to hanah.
Saying what the person was venturing out of his sukkah, away from his sukkah, not for any halachically motivated reason. Just,
so that's wrong.
That's wrong.
So he doesn't bring hana'a.
Yeah, he does. He says just because you want to have more hana'a, that's not a reason for you to say I'm not going to be in a sukkah. He's saying hana'a is not a reason to say no sukkah. Hana'a, tainug, taiva, those reasons are not halachic bases for potting oneself from the sukkah. Yeah, I'm sorry, what were we saying?
It's just it's more like a kanaf.
Which?
That it's, put yourself in a situation where you can be putter.
I don't know.
Not literally like, oh, the Rabbana made a kanaf that you're going to. But like, it seems like it's, yes, on the technical level, you're putter. But philosophically, it's also like, you just can't do that.
I don't know.
Like,
I think he's saying more than that. He's saying you don't really have a patur.
You do it, though.
No. What you're saying is that you really have the. Really, you are putter. But
you put yourself in a situation.
Right, I think he's saying more than that. The outset of the tshuva, it sounds like he's saying you're not really potter.
But what's the...
Because you're not... He says, a case of holchei derachim is when it's only of a certain type. He says, holchei derachim is only kishula davar arashus. It's not a mitzvah, but still, it has to be a certain type of activity, a certain reason. The outing has to be of a certain nature. In a chanami, it's not a mitzvah, it's a dvar shos, but it's shehu tzorech mamish v'gam hu l'chol adam shebishvil zeh hayatzorech latzeis gami beso. It has to be, sort of, borrowing the term from elsewhere, a shav l'chol nefesh. It has to be a reason that everyone would leave their house under the circumstance. I don't know. I don't know if the average person would say, yeah, I'm going to leave my house to go to Great Adventure because I want to see the safari or whatever. I don't know if that's the type of thing that would say, yeah, everyone is going to want to do that. Maybe it is.
What's that word in everyone's going to agree? Like, what case is it that everyone just agrees? Or is it a figure of speech?
Well, it doesn't mean every person. I mean, it has to be a standard. We have, in halacha, you do have that. I mean, you always deal with objective standards. What's the standard? You know, you call it in the secular terminology, they would say, you know, the average man on the street, what does he think? So in halacha, we deal with general categories. Sometimes you say, oh, that guy's willing to do this. What do we say? Halacha, batal, daitel, etzel, kaladam. That guy is an aberration, right? He's aberrant. His behavior is aberrant. Just because a guy is willing to eat something raw, lamasha. Guy's willing to eat something raw, that doesn't mean that halacha now views it as the type of food that could be eaten raw. You know, if 90% of the people, or 95% of the people, look at this thing as something that's only eaten cooked, and he comes along and eats it raw, we don't say, look, now it's not subject to bishul akum because it could be eaten raw. No, we say, this guy is crazy, and even he can't eat it, even he should now be bound by the general rule of bishul akum. Ah, one second, I eat it raw. No, but you're aberrant.
What about perfume on Pesach?
What's that?
What about
perfume on Pesach? Listen, everyone agrees that it's a chumrah. You know, you're talking about Rav Moshe's tshuva. Yeah, so Rav Moshe has this famous tshuva. What he's saying is that mitzdair is a halachic phenomenon. It's a halachic mechanism. Oh, you're mitzdair. Not that I enjoy this more. It's not I enjoy this more. Enjoy more. Like I said, sukkah's out the window. If a guy could always lay claim to enjoying something more and therefore he doesn't want to be in the sukkah, then what's going to happen to the whole mitzvah? That there is no halakhic concept like that over here. There's no patur of enjoying more. You follow? I mean, I'm speaking to your question.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Okay. There are a couple other things that we covered the last couple of days that I want to revisit. Let's start with the rush, since I think most guys worked on the rush this morning. Yesterday, we in Shir, we presented one possibility. In going over it again with my chavrusa, with Rabbi Har, I think we could say a lesser chiddush and maybe an idea that really fits in a little bit better. It was really his idea. So let's just quickly run through the rush. And we'll superficially present yesterday's approach and then tell you what he said, which I think is better. Okay? Someone want to just quickly read through it? Someone that feels they could read through it fairly quickly? Mr. Schwartz, you want to do it? You don't have to. No, there's no pressure. You're a visitor. I'm saying I don't want to.
Yeah, I can try.
Okay. No harm. Yud Beis. Good.
A sick person and all of his attendants are exempt from Soka. Mara Tana Rabbanan, Rabbi said, Kola She'amru Lo Kola.
Lo Kola She'esh Bo Sakana.
That he said that a person is sick, even if he's not in danger.
Good. It doesn't mean. When we say a chola and his misham shemar pater from the sukkah, it doesn't mean a chola that's so sick. It's a chola sheish basakana.
Afilu chash be'enav, he has an eye ache.
Right.
Afilu chash be'rosho, or a headache.
Good.
Amar Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, Pam Achas. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel said that one time, chashasi be'ine be'kasri, traveling in Kasri?
Yeah, he was once in Caesarea, and while being there, he had pain in his eye, chashti beinai. What happened?
Rabbi Yossi gave me a pater,
good,
to sleep, leave the mashmashay in my attendance.
Right.
Attendance, chutz sukkah.
Right. He allowed me, along with my attendants, to sleep outside the sukkah.
Rav Sharele.
Right. The lashon of Shari put mutter. So Rav Shari made it mutter in potter.
The Rav Achav
Parada.
Parada. The Migne Bechilsa Pesuka. Mishum Baki.
Oh, one second. Good. Okay, so the Migne Bechilsa Rav Achav Bardala. I'm sorry. I was on the next piece. That's Rav Sharele the Rav Achav Bardala. The Migne Bechilsa. Kilsa is a canopy bed that apparently would invalidate your yeshiva in the sukkah. Mishumbaki, because of the mosquitoes. So another case of a person who was a mitzta'er was potted from the sukkah. Okay?
Rava Sharele Rav Achav Bar Ada. Rava gave a putter to Rav Achav Bar Ada. Zimigne Bar Mimitalasa.
Yeah, Mimitalasa from the booth, the sukkah. Mishum Sircha
the
Gargishta. The smell of the Gargishta. It's questionable what exactly the Gargishta is, but some substance, you know, some sand or some clay that was used in the building of the sukkah in some cases, either for flooring, according to some shittos, for the walls, according to some shittos, or according to one of the presentation of the Meiri, even for the schach. It was a type of material that was used in the sukkah. Okay?
Umairi be'achasanya.
Good. And we're talking here about a guest. We're talking about someone who's being hosted in someone else's home in this last case. When Rava Sharele the Rav Acha Bar Ada to sleep outside the sukkah because of the smell, it must be that Rav Acha Bar Ada was a guest at someone else's home. Why? Why must it be that way? Good. Because if it was his own house, if this was Rav Acha, Bar Ada's house, how was he able to make a sukkah with the smelly material? Right? We discussed this previously, that a person is not allowed to build a sukkah, me'ikara, in a situation where the sukkah is going to produce or provide a tzar. Right? We said mitzdar comes to a person through external things. The wind, the cold, the bugs, the smell, but those things have to be outside elements, outside forces that now make it uncomfortable to be in the sukkah. But to go ahead and make your sukkah in such a way that is in and of itself a source of tzar for you, you can't do that. So how could you have a situation where you have a smelly sukkah? So what's the answer? Oh, it must be that this person was a guest in someone else's house and he found it personally objectionable. But not that the homeowner found it objectionable. That's the first answer. Okay? Inami
Gargishta Hi Gufsis Uksha Hamitsa
Mutar. When the rain, go ahead.
Your rain Allah.
When the rain fell down on it,
Who Masriya?
It would smell. Okay, so you have two answers here. One answer is that he was a guest in someone else's house and really it bothered him, but it didn't bother the homeowner, and he's potter because it bothered him. He had a particular sensitivity. But you're right. You're right that if the homeowner found it objectionable, there would be a big problem here. That's answer number one. Answer number two is, no, really, it wasn't in its current state bothersome to anybody. Only under certain circumstances would it turn out that it bothered some people, maybe everybody. After it rained, it would rain, and it would bother everyone. So what we said yesterday is that apparently there's a difference between the first answer and the second answer. Okay, why are you offering two different answers? The Rosh, the Ran, and the Meiri all offer that same first answer, that it was bothersome to one person, not bothersome to the homeowner, and that's why that other person had the patur. The visitor had the patur. But you're right, you can't build your sukkah in a smelly place or build your sukkah with smelly material and then say, look, my sukkah is a source of tzar for me, of course I can't sit here. No, it's not good. And we compare it to the case in the Mordechai. The Mordechai says if you build a sukkah that you can only eat and then you can't sleep in it, even when you sleep, even when you're eating there, you're not yotzei the mitzvah. He says not only are you not potter, but when you sit in there, you're not yotzei the mitzvah because the sukkah is deficient. So a smelly sukkah would be deficient. You can't build a sukkah that in and of itself is a source of tzar and then say, hey, I'm a tzar. So what we ventured to say yesterday was that according to this first answer, as seen through the rejection of the second answer, right? The second answer saying, you know what, maybe the first answer is not good. Maybe this is the reason. So we said yesterday was that the first answer seems to be saying that what? That the sukkah was, the smell was not bothersome to the homeowner. It was only bothersome to the guest, and that's why it was okay. Right?
It was okay.
Meaning it wasn't inherently...
It was okay. I mean, that's why it's okay to call himself Potter.
Exactly. That's why he called himself Potter. And that's why it wasn't a problem for the homeowner. It's why his sukkah wasn't deficient for himself. But what does the second answer say? No, that's not true. That's not true. You know where the smell came from? The smell was never really inherently in the sukkah. It only came out in the rain. What's the implication? So what we said yesterday was that the implication is that if it was like that, if it would be that it smelled because of something he actually used in the sukkah, then it could be that it wouldn't even be a sukkah for the Baal HaBayis. Because that's the rejection. The rejection is, no, it can't be that the smell is inherent in the sukkah. Because again, the question is, hey, how could you build a sukkah like this? So the first answer is, well, you could build a sukkah like this because it only smells for some people. It doesn't smell for everybody. And as long as you're not one of those people that it smells for, it's okay. The second answer seems to be saying, no, that wouldn't work. That's not a good sukkah. If it smells for people, then the problem is still inherent in the sukkah, and your sukkah is lacking. Oh, so what must be the case? Only if the smell emerged under certain circumstances, i.e. the rain. But that was what we said yesterday. I agreed yesterday at the outset that it was a little bit difficult because what kind of idea is this, that you have to build your sukkah in such a way that makes it acceptable for everybody? In other words, it doesn't bother you, but it bothers someone else, so therefore it's deficient. Why? Because the material that you used is inherent in the sukkah. That's a very hard standard to apply, or even to understand. Right? So I'll tell you the new approach, which I think is much better. Okay? What's the other issue that the Rosh is dealing with? See, I was approaching it from the perspective that the Rosh is really concerned about the homeowner. Hey, how could the homeowner build a sukkah like this? First answer is, oh, as long as it's not bothersome to him, it's okay. Second answer is, no, even though it's not bothersome to him, if it's inherent in the sukkah, it's no good. But really what the Rosh is really asking, if you will, is about the patur of the visitor. So it's the patur of the visitor that the Rosh is concerned about. How could this guy be potter? If the sukkah was built this way, me'ikara, maybe he shouldn't be potter. Right? You can't exempt yourself from the mitzvah of sukkah by building a smelly sukkah and then saying, I'm its dyer. Right? Does everyone agree with that? You can't build a smelly sukkah and then say, it smells bad in here, I'm potter. That the Rosh says that. Oh, so what's the answer? The answer is, you're right. But it didn't smell for the person that built it. It only smelled for this person. And this person, for him, it was simply what? It was a mikra. For him, from his perspective, it was a mikra. It was a chance. It was a chance. It's like he happened upon it. It came upon him. On the visitor.
Did he know?
The visitor? It doesn't matter if he knew. It's just saying, objectively, you invited me into the sukkah. I didn't build a sukkah that's foul smelling. You built a sukkah that's foul smelling for me. Now you brought me here. It's no different than we're sitting in the sukkah and all of a sudden bees come. As far as I'm concerned. As far as the visitor is concerned. Right? I didn't set up a situation, me'ikara, which is a source of tsar. You brought me in here. Right? So as far as I'm concerned, it's a chance. It's a chance occurrence. It's a mikra. Like the cold weather all of a sudden coming. Like the bugs coming. Like the smell wafting in from some other place. It's a regular tsar in the sukkah that came from someplace else. It's not a pre-engineered tsar that's programmed into the sukkah, as far as I'm concerned. If you, the homeowner, were averse to the smell, then yeah, for you, it would be no good. Because you put it there. You built the sukkah from the outset like that. It's programmed into the sukkah. That's not a mikra, right? It's not a chance occurrence. You set it up that way.
But you didn't know that the rain was going to cause the
odor. No, the first answer. The first answer was right before the rain. The first answer saying, it has a smell. Oh. You don't mind the smell, so you smear it on your walls or you put it on your floor. And for you, it's okay because it doesn't smell. Oh, why is it okay when I come? Because when I come, it's not my sukkah. I didn't build the sukkah that way. It just happens. So for me, it's okay. What's the second answer saying? The second answer is rejecting that. The second answer is saying no. In this way, it's similar to what we said yesterday. As long as it's inherent in the sukkah, it doesn't matter who put it there. Right? It doesn't matter who put it there. If the sukkah is built in this way, even though it happens to be built by a guy who doesn't mind the smell, if it's inherent in the sukkah, that's it. I can't be pottered in such a sukkah. I can't go into such a sukkah and say, I'm putter because I don't like the smell. It's in the sukkah. It is the sukkah. So what must be the answer? Oh, it must be that the smell only comes about through the rain. Now, does it matter if we know the smell is going to emerge in the rain or not? I don't think so. Even if I know the smell will only emerge in the rain, I won't say that the smell is inherent in the sukkah. Right? The smell and the sukkah are separable. Something else brings out the smell. So in that sense, now we're back to square one. It's mikra. It's a chance. Okay, it came, now it rained. So once it rained, now I'm putter.
Is there a category that he's not putter from the mitzvah of eating and sleeping in the sukkah, but he's putter from this sukkah?
You mean canopy sort of thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean...
Once you're in the sukkah, you have to eat and sleep in there, but for the time being, he's totally putter.
That's the case of mitzdayer. Meaning, this guy's a guest now in your sukkah. He's technically chayiv. It's the first day of sukkah, second day, well, not the first day. It's the second day of sukkah. He's about to sit down to a meal of bread and wine and meat. He's mechuyav in sukkah. He has to eat in sukkah. But now he's a guest in your house. You have a smelly sukkah as far as he's concerned. So now he's patur. He's patur for the time being. They ask me, does he have to go find another sukkah? Is that what you're asking? So in most cases we say, no, a person doesn't have to go find another sukkah unless it's readily accessible, because again, that's not teshu king tediru. We wouldn't tell a guy, go look for another house. You're right here. Right? Going to someone else's sukkah is generally considered something that is violative of teshu king tediru. But let's say he's not anywhere per se, right? And now he could choose. He's traveling and he has a choice to stop here or stop there. Can't necessarily, I mean, why should he stop in a place where the sukkah smells and say, I'm not chayiv? He really is. He is chayiv. So he'll go into the sukkah. Let's say, for whatever example, I don't, for whatever reason, and the Mishnah Berurah even talks about this, let's say a person has two sukkahs on his property. He has a sukkah for sleeping and a sukkah for eating. Let's say a person like has such a thing. So now I'm a guest in your house, and I could choose. I'll walk into this sukkah, or I'll walk into this sukkah. So I'm chayiv now to eat in the sukkah. I can't exempt myself by saying, okay, I'm going to walk over here and it smells for me, so therefore I'm going to be butter. No, go over there.
What if it smells over there too?
That's different. I'm saying one smells and one doesn't. I'm just trying to paint the case where, yes, you walk around with a chiyuv, but now you're presented with a situation that's a patur for you. Pass. Why? Not because you're not chayiv, but you have a patur. Right? There's a difference between saying someone is not chayiv and saying someone is chayiv, but he has an exemption. He has a patur. Everyone's have to pay taxes. Okay, you qualify for certain exemptions, so you don't have to pay for this particular thing. But it doesn't mean you don't pay taxes. It doesn't mean that you're outside the realm of paying taxes. Every student is supposed to be in the classroom. That's the rule. Okay, you have a hall pass, you're allowed to be outside. It doesn't mean that you're not subject to the rules of really being obligated. Really, I'm supposed to be in the room, but I have a pass which says that I'm allowed to be in the hall. if I'm a teacher, so I'm allowed to be, I'm never required to be, not a teacher. A teacher should be in the room also, but someone that doesn't have to be in the room. I'm not bound by that rule. That rule doesn't apply to me. I'm not supposed to be seated in the classroom. That's not my place. Right? This guy really is supposed to eat in the sukkah. Okay, but he has a reason now why he can't eat in the sukkah. Because I think that's a better approach to the rush. I think that it's similar in a certain way to what we said yesterday, but I think it's much closer to making sense from the first answer than what we said yesterday. The first approach that we gave yesterday for the first answer was a little bit more difficult. Yeah?
We're just not clear on the on the visitor.
Yeah, the visitor.
All
right, that's really the question. Since tsar, in order to be a patur, has to be a tsar that confronts you. It can't be a tsar which is built into the mitzvah. How do I view this particular situation where the smell is in the sukkah? Do I say, well, because it's someone else's sukkah, he built it, and now I'm a guest there. That's like it sort of came upon me. Just like bugs flying into the sukkah. So that would be a legitimate patur. It would be patur. Or to say, no, that since it's actually built into the sukkah, I can't view that anymore as mikra, as happenstance, as an occurrence. And the only way to say that it could be like that is the second way, that really it doesn't smell in its normal state. It only smells under specialized circumstances, i.e. after the rain. And that would be a mikra. It would rain now it stopped raining, and now it smells. Oh, that's a mikra.
So in case one, the first approach that the rabbis bring is just saying that even though it's built into the sukkah, it's still mikra.
That's what we were saying. That's what we're saying now, yeah.
Yeah. The second one is to say, no, that actually doesn't work. It's just that when the rain comes, then it really is chance.
That's a mikra, right. But I can't say, even though I'm a guest in your sukkah, because the smell is built into the sukkah, I still can't call that mikra.
Yeah, that would be the second.
That's what we said today, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that makes the most sense, honestly. I think that's the best way to read. But it's a tricky rush, because when you read this rush, and I think it's a good point just to be sensitive to in general, a lot of times when you see a Tosfos, for example, and Tosfos will give an answer, and they'll say, Inami, you give a different answer. So sometimes the answers seem drastically different, and you could say, oh, these are different answers. This is one of those cases where if you just look at it superficially, they look like they're saying the same thing. Trying to show me two different examples where the smell comes in such a way that it doesn't bother everybody. But why are you giving me two examples of the same thing? I need two examples? So you have to sometimes delve a little deeper and recognize that the Inami is saying something different. It's a different answer. It's a different approach. It's a rejection on some level of the first approach. It's a different mahalach in the sugya. Okay? Okay, as long as we still have a few minutes left, I still want to go further with something else, but we had two other things that we did over the last couple of days that I don't know if everyone got a chance to appreciate, because I don't know if everyone was here, even with a lot of our fancy Skyping. Yesterday we did a conference Skype. Right, Yona? Is that right?
Yeah. So, okay, with one last thing. So from the second perspective, if it's built into the sukkah, the guest is...
No, according to the second answer?
He's still here, right?
You would still be chayev, that's right. You would still be chayev. You wouldn't be able to use that as a patur. Avi, you still here? Okay, I want, before everyone else picks up and packs out. Okay. Well, that's because Reisha is really like a hotel, so...
No, the whole second floor of the dorm, they just gave to couples. It was like a bar mitzvah.
Okay.
They kicked everyone out of the second floor dorm.
Okay, I want to go back to the... to the Kovet Shirim from 2 days ago. Again, a lot of guys were here when I did it, but I want to go over it just a few minutes. It's very kedai, and it's just a nice idea that you get to appreciate that with a different perspective on the sugya. So Rabbi Chanan quotes over here, this is Chelek Beis Simen Mem Vav, he quotes a tshuva from the Gaonim. And in this tshuva of the Gaonim say, this is Simen Nun Aleph, he says, V'chola She'en yochel lispalel, a sick person who cannot daven. A sick person who cannot daven because of his illness. His illness doesn't allow for him to daven because he's just too overcome with discomfort from being sick. Im kovid alav hacholi, hu u'mesham shepeturim. If a person is so sick and he's so overcome with feelings of his illness that he can't pray, so he's exempt from praying along with his attendant. His attendant is also exempt from praying. Sounds kind of radical. It's the tshuva of the Gaonim. So Rabbi Chanan is going to explain the connection to our sugya in 1 second, but the tshuva continues, and the tshuva, the Gaonim says, the alfinon misukah. How do we know that the chola along with his attendant is pata from praying? We learn that from sukkah. What does it say in sukkah? The chola mishamsha peturim. Because the chola and his attendant are pata from sukkah. Umitsta'erhu pater umishamsha chayavin. And a mitsta'er, we know he's pater and his mishamish is chayav. V'hainu b'chola she'in bo sakana. Now this is Rabbi Chanan speaking. Rachan says that this Gemara, our Gemara in Sukkah, is talking about a chola shein bo sakana. The ibi yesh bo sakana. If you're talking about yesh bo sakana, lo tzarech lemelech misukah. Even the case of the praying now, the praying case is not talking about a person who is a chola shesh bo sakana, because if it was a chola shesh bo sakana, you don't need to learn from Sukkah. You don't need to tell me, guys, potter from tefillah if he's a chola shesh bo sakana. I don't need Sukkah to tell me that. That's just a basic principle. Why is the Mishamish now Potter? The Chola is Mishamish? Because he's Osik B'mitzvah. The Tzarech Iyon, to Lefizah, according to this approach, Chola U'mishamshav Peturin Mikola Mitzvahs. Maybe you'll say now that the Chola and his attendant should be Potter from all Mitzvahs. Right? He should be Potter from everything. Why? Because you're Osik and Mitzvah. U'misukah L'chorein Raya. But really, in reality, you can't really bring a Raya from Sukkah to all Mitzvahs. Why? Because in Sukkah we have a different principle. The principle is Teshu King Deduru. The Hassam time of Teshu King Deduru. The reason why, ostensibly, it seems that there's a Petur in Sukkah is because of Teshu King Deduru. Now you want to borrow from there to Tefillah? Well, it doesn't seem so right, because then you can really tell me that it's applicable to all mitzvahs. And yet the reason that we started out with is Teshu King Deduru. That's sort of in the, we'll call it the Havami, even though it's not really a Havami, so that's the way you would look at it. Because of Teshu. Umuchach mizah, he says, Dahashamoshin ain't behem time of Teshu came to do. No. He says the reason why the Shamash is Potter is not because of Teshu came to do. Even though others say that is the reason why the Chol is Potter. Right? The Chol is Potter because he never leaves the side of the Shamash. Sorry, the Shamash is Potter because he never leaves the side of the Chola. So he's Potter because of Teshu came to do. So Rabbi Chanan is saying, no, you can't say that. That's not the reason why he's Potter. You potter for the reason of osek b'mitzvah. It must be that, because otherwise the Gaonim would have never been able to make the step. Right? The Gaonim would have never been able to make the step if it was Teshu King Tedur oriented. So why is the Shamish potter from the because of the Chola in the case of the sickness? Oh, it must be because of osek b'mitzvah. And if that's the case, when it says Yalef Misukah, we learn that from Sukkah, that must be the principle over there, that the Shamish by Sukkah is Potter for what reason? Osek B'mitzvah. But now he makes another step. That's the first step. The first step
which,
is...
Which mitzvah is he Osek?
Taking care of the Chola, apparently. Tending to the Chola.
Okay.
You know, I don't know exactly which... It's not necessarily Mitzvah Daraisa, right? It doesn't seem like it's Akanas Nefashos, but some way tending to the person's sickness and helping him would be some Mitzvah Darabanan. But then he goes a step further, and he says, now if that's the case that the Shamash is potter because he's Osek B'mitzvah, right, what are you going to say for the Chola himself? So you say the same thing for the Chola himself. Apparently Rabbi Chanan was convinced that the Petur of the Chola and his Shamash are one and the same. Not necessarily that they're a pack, not necessarily that they're a unit, but the nature of their Petur is the same. Chola, U'mashamsham. Same reason. So what is it? Osik b'mitzvah. Listen to what he says. It's unbelievable. He says, "Lefiza gam b'chola atzma shayach time with the osik b'mitzvah." It must be that the chol is also potter because of osik b'mitzvah. What mitzvah? So he says, "The mitzvah hashavas gufo gam aleh hadidei ramya." It's not only an obligation on this person to bring me back to health and to help nurse me back to health, the attendant, but it's my own obligation also. I have a chiyuv and the shmaratim al nisam shaseichem. I have to do whatever I can to preserve my own health. We spoke about this once in the context of exercising. The Torah specifically mandates that a person is supposed to tend to his medical needs. The mitzvah hashavas gufo Gamalel didei Ramya. So I'm also involved in that mitzvah of self-preservation when I go into the house. As a chole, when I leave the sukkah and I go into my house, I'm involved in the mitzvah of keeping myself healthy. Ve'eino doma la vedas mamon di'ita v'mechila. And then he goes into a slightly different issue. Right? Ve'chein nirmi divri ha'poskim v'chos tefillin. D'mi sheish la maka o mechash perosh she'gilui ha'rosh yazik lo potter milaniach sharosh. We really discussed that in the halacha shiur once when we spoke about the tefillin in the case where a person has some type of ritiyah on, they could be samech on the rashba. But be that as it may, what the Rav Chanan is saying is an unbelievable thing. He's saying, without speaking it out in so many words, that the chola and the mishamish must be from the same source. The patur of both of them must be the same source. And looking at this tshuva of the Gaonim, it can't be that the patur of the chola is teishu kein tadiru. Meaning because the shamish, if he's potter because of teishu kein tadiru, that doesn't teach me anything about tefillah. Tefillah in the middle of the winter. What shaykhus does teishu kein tadiru have to a chola and his shamish being potter from tefillah? Nothing. So when you tell me yalif misukka, it can't be yalif misukka from teishu kein tadiru. You follow? Today, according to the Gaonim, let's say halacha ma'aseh. According to the Gaonim, you have a chola who can't daven, and he has an attendant. The chola is potter, and the attendant is potter. How do you know that? Yalif misukka. You learn that from sukkah? It can't be teishu kein tadiru. That's the principle which potters you during sukkahs, because that wouldn't be a basis for learning the tefillah. Elamai, what must it be for the mishamish? It must be osek b'mitzvah. He's helping the sick person get better. He's involved in a mitzvah. Oh, and if that's the case, so you'll say the same thing by the chola himself. The chola is also involved in the same mitzvah. Now, why do you have to say that? Why can't you just say the shamish is involved in the mitzvah, and the chola is potter because of teishu kein tadiru? Could have said that. But apparently he felt that they go together. It's the same patur. It's not two separate patur. And that's something that came up in some of the other mefarshim as well. Is it one patur or is it two separate patur?
The argument that would have been if you learn out that the mishamish is putter from sukkah because of teishu kein tadiru would be because the normal way is for him to always be next to the sick person.
Right, that's right. What does that help you over here by tefillah? You're with him. What are you with him? He's putter from tefillah, but teishu kein tadiru has no meaning outside of sukkah. It's only a patur in the realm of sukkah. It's not a patur that can serve to pati from tefillah, but osek b'mitzvah can pati from tefillah. That's a universal principle. Yeah.
Is it the same idea of mitzvah?
No. That's the next. We touched on that yesterday with the Erech Lamir, but there's no time for it now. We'll come back to that tomorrow. Okay. I think we're now minchas. We'll stop here, and then tomorrow I'll just touch on this Erech Lamir. But I think we're going to move on to another issue, specifically the issue of mitzvah on the first night. Mitzvah on the first night of Sukkot. Is it different than mitzvah the rest of the week?
How is the shamash? Why is the shamash doing a mitzvah?